Thanks for listening to today's podcast. If this ministry has touched your life in any way, contact us at Beach Family Worship Center, Georgetown Campus on Facebook or by emailing us at bfwcgeorgetown@gmail.com. Feel free to share your prayer requests or comments. We hope you enjoy today's message. Blessings to you and yours.
So you got your Bibles. I want you to turn with me real quick to Mark chapter 10. And I'm going to be in verse 17. And this morning, if you need a Bible, there's some under the seats. And if you don't own a Bible, we'll get you one. Amen. Are you in Mark chapter 10, verse 17? My sound team is. They got up on the screen for you. They cheat, don't they? How many of y'all quit bringing your Bible to church because you could cheat? Don't do that. Bring your Bible anyways. Amen. So a lot of us want to go to a fight and you don't carry a weapon with you. Amen. Do y'all mind if I show you the love of Jesus? Mark chapter 10, verse 17 says this. I'm going to be reading through 23, so I hope you got your fingers ready to move. And when he had gone forth in the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, "Good master." Someone runs up to the feet of Jesus, calls him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" Now, can I help everybody here? How did this man even know that Jesus had the ability to do it? He's seen something in Jesus that realized it was beyond death. Can I help everybody here? What Jesus has for you is beyond what you think, hope, or could even ask for. He has a gift for you that he wants to give you now, not when you go to heaven. Hello, somebody. How many of you realize he's with you right now? Come on, look at somebody and say, "He's here right now." He's here right now. You say, "Lord, you're in the middle of my mess." He's in the middle of your mess right now. Come on, how many people's in a mess right now? Lord, are you okay? Just go ahead and let the devil know that you know that he's with you. Amen? Because when the devil knows that you got Jesus with you, then most of the time he's going to turn tail and run. But many of us like to go to a fight without him being there. Oh, don't make me preach. Y'all done got me stirred up already. Watch this. Go to verse 18. And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? For there is none good but one, and that is God. What do you see in me that I could even be called good? There's only one good, and that's God." It's pretty obvious he's looking at this young man and he's testing him and saying, "What do you see?" Can I ask you something? What do you see in Jesus? What is your personal experience with Jesus? Oh, y'all ain't going to help me up in here. Do you know him as one of them relatives that don't live close to you? You pick up the phone and call when you need something or to check on somebody. Y'all ain't saying nothing. Is everybody all right in here? Or is he one of those that live in the same city as you, but, you know, you bounce by occasionally, but you really don't have that relationship with him? Or is he one of those that's so close you can't help it? Every day you got to talk to him. Every day you got to get close to him. Every day you got to say, "You know what, there's so much more than what I'm living in right now. And because you've overcome this world and death, I need to know how to live a little bit." Look at somebody and say, "Live a little bit." Too many of us are letting our circumstances stop us from living. Good preaching, Pastor. You're letting your bills keep you from living. Because you're saying this, "Well, I ain't got the money to go buy that." Listen, there's some things that money just can't buy. Money is not just going to buy you joy. See, everybody thinks if I had a lot of money, I could buy what I want and I'd be happy. Ask the millionaires that when they buy everything they want, they come back and still say, "I'm empty." It's because God put something in you that only he could fill. Amen? Go to verse 19. "Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor your father and your mother." Don't let me preach that in front of a bunch of teenagers right now. We'll move off of that one because I'll get stank eye from some of these kids in here. You know what my words are. Stop it. Listen. Amen. Verse 20. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all of these things I've observed since I was young. Are you ready? We're getting to the good part. Jesus threw up a bunch of stuff and said, you have to do these. And when he did that, the young man came back to him and said, I've completed all these tasks. I've made sure since I was young that I did these. Teenagers, let me help you in here. You ready? How many teenagers I got in here listening to the sound of my voice? Listen up. If you start when you're young, you won't depart from them when you're old. If you learn to stop lying when you're young, you won't have a problem with lying when you're old. Oh, come on, help me somebody. When you stop defrauding people or wanting to drink or smoke like everybody else, and you realize, you know what, there's something greater that lives in me that I can't afford this, guess what? As you get older, you won't have a problem with drinking. Y'all ain't saying nothing. Adults, help me in here. You remember the first time you did it? Look at verse 21. Then Jesus, beholding him, what? Woo! I know you've heard this preached before, but how many of you stopped right here? Jesus looks at him and listens to him. Since the time he was young, he was following after God. And right there, Jesus looks at him and his love just begins to explode. How many of us in here just want his love toward us to explode? No, come on. Anybody want a love? Yeah, okay, let me help some of y'all in here. You ever had somebody just spoil you? Over here they have. Everybody else, you ain't never been spoiled. You need to be spoiled at least once in your life. Not that you become a brat. You just get to be spoiled every once in a while. Because as adults, guess what? You can be an adult and still be a brat. Good preaching, Pastor. Because there's sometimes your childish ways are going to try to come back. Oh, don't make me go there right now. Okay, Pastor. And he said unto him one thing. Everybody just lift up a number one finger. Don't you fly any finger but number one finger. I know better in this house. Amen. Everybody say one thing. No, say one thing. One thing you lack. Go on your way, sell whatever you have, and give to the poor, and you shall have a treasure in heaven, and come take up the cross and follow me. Can I just help you for a minute? How many of you realize that he loves you? Come on, help me in here. How many of you know he loves you? Okay, how many of us in here, to the best of our ability, we try to serve the Lord with everything in us? Come on, let me see your hands. How many of us in here just want to make our God pleased with us? How many of you want us to just love on him? You want to live a life worthy or holy? Amen? Now watch this. Jesus analyzes this young man and looks at him with love, and he finds one thing. See, let me go ahead and tell you what the devil says. Why is God nitpicking you? Can I just go here for just a minute? God, why is this one area in my life the only thing you're after right now? Whoa, you don't preach about this at Christmas time. Excuse me, I just got to follow what the Word says. Because you know what? On Christmas Day, I'm going to celebrate his birth, but I thank him for everything he's already done in my life. Amen? But watch this. He says, what is that one thing? Anybody here got one of those one things that the Lord just keeps bringing up? I'll go over here and preach because y'all just gave me the look. Anybody got one of those areas in your life where the Lord, he keeps looking over all your works? Golly, I wish I had something. I need a hanky this morning. I need something to wave in the air. I'm about to go get a tissue in a minute because you got yours, Ms. Dot? Ms. Dot says, I got mine. Okay, I need to borrow it. Oh. Let me wave this piece a little bit. Watch this. Anybody got that one area in your life where the Lord constantly comes in and pushes that button and goes, can I have this? Can I have this? Can I have this? See, we look at it and we go, why is he nitpicking me? He's not nitpicking you. He's loving you, and he wants to pour his love so deep in your life. He wants you to be able to give up that thing and him fill that area of your life. God have mercy. Watch this. Do you realize that the Lord loves you so much that there's an area in your life that he's not in? He wants to wipe it out so you have 100% of him. Does anybody just want a 100% encounter with Jesus? Come on, anybody want one of those relationships with him that, man, when you wake up in the morning, he's right there with you. When you go to bed at night, he's right there with you. When you have sickness in your body, he's the one pampering you. Come on, anybody want to have a relationship with him when it seems like all hell is breaking loose and he stomps into hell and he goes, I've already took the keys right here. Come on, anybody want that kind of love in your life? See, God's not nitpicking you. He just wants 100% of you. He looks at this young man, and the young man says, but I've done all these things. He said, but there's one thing. Come on, church, listen to me. The power of love is this. God doesn't want you to stay in the one thing. He wants to expose it and let his love come in and cast it out, because perfect love casts out. Oh, y'all ain't helping me. I told you, I'm a priest this morning. I've been teaching for a while, but I'm a priest this morning. Are you ready? Because his love wants to cast out those areas in your life so that you can receive 100% of him. I want a 100% encounter with Jesus. I don't want a 90%. I don't want a 95%. No, I want to know that when he calls my name, I'm running to him. I want to know when he speaks in the middle of the night, I can hear his voice. Come on, church. He looks at this young man, he says, there's only one thing you got to do. See, in this young man's life, it was his wealth. What's in your life? What's the one thing? Well, Pastor, there's a lot of one things. You have to understand, this young man's life, there was a lot of one things that were more than one thing. But you see the process of what he did. He says, since my youth, I've worked on these till now, I've got them. Can I help you? The love of God loves you so much, he'll help you in the process of getting rid of your one things. I ain't got to be perfect. I just got to serve the one who is. Come on. Ooh, I got to crucify that anger. Oh, Pastor, you ain't got no... Oh. Got to crucify those areas. I got to work on those areas. Come on. Is there anybody in here that's helping you right now? He looks at him and says, go get rid of those things, because what I have for you is greater than what you're experiencing right now. Hello, somebody. I would trade my physical things for heavenly things any day, because this is temporary. I want to tie into something eternal. I want to tie into an eternal blessing. I want to tie into eternal healing. I want to tie into whatever he has that lasts forever. The moth can't destroy it and the worms can't eat it up. Oh, come on, somebody has got to help me in this house. I got to tie into something eternal. I can't tie into something that's going to be here today and gone tomorrow. He said, go. Do this. Then come back. Watch this. Did you notice as fast as he told him to get rid of it, he says, already your treasure is for you in heaven. Oh, no. Lord Jesus, help me right here. Y'all look at me. You ready? Watch this. God's not building it until you get there. God already has it. I cannot stand when people say, well, I'm just waiting on God. No, you're not. No, you're not. God's waiting on you. He said he already had a plan for your life, so he knows when you're going to be up. He knows when you're going to be down. He knows when you're sideways. He knows when you're straight. He knows when you need money. He knows whenever you need a healing. He knows what. Come on, somebody got to help me up in here. Watch this. Watch this. Watch this. Watch this. Watch this. He says, look, already it is in place, but for now, all I ask you to do is to take up the cross. A place of sacrifice. Oh, no, pastor, do you got to preach on this? There's one thing in your life that the Lord says, I love you enough, I want it all. Because if God don't own it, the devil. Don't preach. The word can't lie. It says you serve one or the other. So if God ain't got 100% of you, good preaching, Pastor. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I appreciate that. Take up your cross and follow me. You got verse 22 up there? And he was sad at the saying, and he went away what? Everybody say it. He went away what? Ouch. Has anybody ever had one of those ouch moments when you're in the presence of God? Come on, anybody? Okay, somebody's preaching or somebody just drops by and gives you a word. And instead of it being joy to your bones, it's a chip off of your block. It's when the Lord comes by with a chisel and a hammer and he goes, you know what? This area in your life, I've got to chip out. It can't stay here. Because if it stays here, it's going to ruin the statue. Do you understand that you're fearfully and wonderfully made? You are a statue and God's coming by and just chipping some things off of his masterpiece. But you never thought about yourself being a masterpiece, did you? Lord, you're making me into a masterpiece. You know, only in the hands of the Creator does he see the flaws. When you look at the famous paintings of the Mona Lisa, the statue of David, you could see as he looked at it and went, oh, that's beautiful. And then he goes, you know what? But I don't like this piece. See, you don't know what he didn't like about the... You just know to your eyes, it's perfect. And only in the eyes of the one who creates does he see the things. Can I help you? So don't play God when there's... When you worry about a splinter in your friend's eye, when there's a plank in yours, preach, Pastor Eric. For he had great possessions. Go to the next verse, 23. I just got to get there, and then I got to move. Is that okay? And Jesus looked around about, and he said to his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? Was it the riches' fault? Hello? It was an area in this man's life that Jesus just brought out. See, I believe that there was many times behind closed doors he had some come to Jesus meetings with his disciples. Hey, Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Come on, y'all are not saying nothing in this house. I believe there's some times whenever he looked over at some of his disciples and said, you know what? That self-righteousness in you has got to go. It can't be around me. I believe that Jesus loved them enough that he would call it out when he did. That's why he sat there around the table that night and said, one of you will betray me. And there was one there that did. And then there was another one that did it with his mouth. So you got to understand there's power in what you say. You find right here that Jesus looks around his disciples. He looks around those he loved. And he said, this is the one area in his life that is hard. And everybody likes to pick on the rich young ruler. But the truth is, if you really understand, later on down the road, he became one of Jesus' followers who did just what he said to do. And he began to fund the ministry. Y'all need to read some in more into what you just read. He had to go back and take the process of chipping it out. Come on, how many of y'all are in the process of some chipping? Anybody in here, there's some things that the Lord is just like, see? Knocked the sneeze right out of her. How many of you want to know how much he loves you? Can I keep going? See, that was good, but y'all want more? Y'all still got your Bibles? Go with me to John chapter 11. John 11, verse 6. And listen, you can look at the screen if you want to, because I'm going to be moving fast, but I've got some nuggets I need to drop on you very quickly. Is that okay? John chapter 11, verse 6. How many of y'all remember Lazarus? And when he had heard, therefore, that Lazarus was sick, or he was sick, he abode 2 more days in the same place where he was. You know, if you love somebody and they're sick, you want to go to them, right? Hello? Look at verse 7. And after that, said he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. Verse 8. And his disciples said unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone you. And goest thou again? Are you going again after they threatened you? Can I stop for just a minute here? See, a lot of people in here want to read this, but they don't read it. He had to leave Judea the first time because they had picked up rocks to stone him to death before. And when he left, his intentions was not to leave and just let everybody happen or things to happen the way that they thought it would happen or even the enemy thought it would happen. He knew that when he left, he didn't have a choice. And he looked at his disciples and he said, no matter what they tried to do with me, I got to go back. Do you understand that Jesus was literally taking on a death threat at that moment? For him to go back and raise Lazarus meant that they would be able to try to kill him again. And a lot of people want to speculate why he waited 2 days. It's because in those 2 days, God had to do some work in Judea to even prepare for him to come. Because you know when Jesus comes, all is getting ready to happen. I ain't going to say it. Everything's getting ready to shift. Everything's getting ready to break. And you need to realize that right here. He's looking at his disciples and he said, these are the ones I love. No matter if they tell me they're going to kill me, I got to go anyways. Do you realize how much he loved Martha and Mary and Lazarus? He said, they're going to try to kill me, but I don't care. I've got to go. Go to verse 9. Let's just go there quick. You ready? And Jesus answered and said, are there not 12 hours in a day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbles not, but it's because he sees the light of the world. He looks at them and he says, guess what, boys? My Father spoke light in the beginning. If he tells me to go, I got to go. And I'm not going in the dark. I got to go when he tells me to go. And if it's in the broad daylight, then that's what I got to do. Because when I go, I don't go by myself. Verse 10. But if a man walks in the night, he stumbles because there's no light in him. Do you want me to be afraid of what they say? Do you want me to be afraid of what they tried to do? Come on. Too many people in church today are afraid about what people have to say about you. Too many people are afraid in the church today because they tried to get you once and you let fear stop you from doing what you're called to do. Lord Jesus, have mercy. I'm preaching better than you shouting. Verse 11. These things he said, and after this, he said unto them, because our friend Lazarus is sleeping. Isn't it like Jesus just to call it what it is? I'm about to show you boys what I'm getting ready to do whenever the trumpet blows. Because the dead in Christ will rise first. Oh, y'all ain't saying nothing. See, you got a lot of people that are in the grave. They're sleeping. But when the trumpet blows, the dead in Christ will rise first. Do you understand that there's going to be an awaking trumpet sound like an alarm clock that's going to cause the dead to come out of where they are? Oh, y'all ain't saying nothing. He's trying to speak this to all of his disciples before he ever died and rose again. He's trying to get them to take a glimpse of what's getting ready to happen. But I go that I may wake him up out of his sleep. You know what I love about Jesus? He loves me enough that he'll come and wake me up out of my sleep. I ain't talking about just your physical sleep. I'm talking about when you're in a place that you can't get out of and you feel like you're dying on the inside. Oh, come on, church, help me. Lord Jesus, when you get in one of those spiritual dry places where there ain't nothing left in you and you just dying, and he comes by and he goes, wake up. Verse 12. Y'all still with me? Then he said to his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Yeah, sometimes, you know, some people just don't get it. Because everybody, when you're sick, everybody tells you to go to bed. But when you're dead, stinky dead, you just don't get it. Amen? How many of you got some Christian folk around you that just don't get it when they look at you? Nobody gonna say nothing in this church. They look at you and they go, I just don't get it. What is it about you? Why are they, you know, I have people say, why do they attack me? Why do they this and that? They don't understand what's in you. They don't understand what's going on in, oh, preach, Pastor Eric. They don't understand the love of God that flows all over you and flows all over me. They can't grasp it. They can't get it. Verse 13. Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he was speaking of rest and sleep. Can we keep going real quick? Hurry, hurry, hurry. And Jesus said plainly, finally he said, hey guys, Lazarus is dead. Let me get this to where you can understand it. How many of us in here, God has to speak to you sometime and just said it plainly? Because you know, the Lord tries many times to get it to you in a kinder way. Oh, y'all ain't saying nothing in this church. Hello, church. Listen. How many times have he spoke to you in the sweet whispers? How many times has he sent somebody by to tell you? And then finally, the Lord just says, hey, you stink. Because it's dead. What's in you is dead, and I need it to come alive. Let me keep going. Y'all gonna make me preach. 15. And I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there so that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him right now. Now. How many of you realize that when God's ready to move, he moves now? He didn't give them a chance to pack up their clothes. He didn't give them a chance to get anything together. He said, no, we're going now. How many of you realize that God's got an urgency for you? Come on, no, listen to me. Listen, they're cranking up. Glory to God. Listen, but watch this. God has an urgency for you. When you get into the place that you can't handle anymore, all of heaven comes into a place of urgency. Verse 16. Then Thomas speaks up and says, oh, we'll go with you. We'll just die with you. Anybody got some of those friends that they just don't get it? Anybody got some relatives that just don't? I'm moving on. Anybody got some of your kids that they just don't? Why y'all making me do what I do? Daddy, why you making me do this? There's hankies waving all over the house now. Everybody done. They just don't get it. Verse 17. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had been in the grave already for 4 days. Stinky dead. Verse 18. I want to help you here. Watch this. Bethany was nigh to Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. In other words, he stopped outside the town. Keep going. I'm going to break this down real quick. Many of the Jews came with Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Anybody never shows up until someone dies. Don't make me preach there. Because not everybody that is with you is for you. Verse 20. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him. She didn't give time for him to come to her. She said, I got to go to him. Church, can I help everybody? Quit running from God when things happen and run to him. If there's something dead in your life, come on, get up off of yourself and run to him. If something's going on in your family, run to him. If something's going on in your finances, run to him. Listen, oh, come on, church, help me up in here. Watch this. But Mary sat there in the house. See, she just sat there. You know why? It's because Mary was bitter. I'm going to preach on bitter. Verse 21. Then said Martha to Jesus, if you'd been here, my brother had not have died. He wouldn't have died. Keep going. Verse 22. At least one of them ran to him and voiced her opinion. But I know that even now, what
Thanks again for listening to this podcast. If you've made a decision to follow Christ, we rejoice with you. Please let us know by contacting us at Beach Family Worship Center, Georgetown Campus on Facebook. And we invite you to catch our next broadcast right here. See you soon.